We've been in a series, if you'll turn to Ephesians chapter 4, beginning in verse 11. 11 through 16 is our set of scriptures that is our home base for the series of messages that we have been looking at in these most recent of weeks. We're in a spirit series, or a series on the gifts of the Spirit, and we've begun that series by speaking about the fivefold ministry, the ascension gift ministries, or those ministries that Jesus said he had given to the church upon his ascension to the Father in heaven. He pours out these gifts, and these gifts happen to be men and women who serve and help lead in the body of Christ to build the family of God. How many want to be the church Jesus wants us to be? Amen. I'm talking to the right group of people. In Ephesians 4, 11 through 16, you read about the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, and the teacher. The foundational ministries, again, following his ascension, known as the ascension gift ministries or the fivefold ministries. Beginning with Ephesians 4, I'm just going to do verse 11 at this early point here. Ephesians 4, verse 11. And if you find it in your own Bible, if you don't have a set of scriptures with you, there's some Bibles at the back of the room. We invite you to get one and look along with us, or look up here as we have it. The Ascension Gift Prophet. And so we'll go to that first scripture, Pat. You're just doing great. That's all right. We're just going to do the first verse of that section. No problem. No problem. Therefore, he says... There you go. All right, we're going to read verse 8. Therefore, he says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave what? Yes. Gifts to men. Now, let's just read verse 11. And thanks for trying, Pat. And he himself gave some. Read it with me, please. Gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and pastors. And teachers. Now, I want to take just a moment before we go on to speak about last week's message. Last week, if you recall, we talked about it's a time to be right with God. How many remember the scripture out of Revelation chapter 9, verse 16, where the Apostle John prophesied about a 200 million person army? How many remember that? A little unusual, wouldn't you say? A unique prophecy. And that prophecy dealt with incredible things that the prophet had no idea of being able to see yet. And so we were speaking about how the prophet spoke things they didn't fully understand. But in this hour, in this day, in the last days, some of these prophecies are beginning to make sense. We talked about Daniel. Daniel had a whole host of things God had shown him. But of the end times revelation, he said to God, "What is all this?" And God said, "Daniel, I don't want you to worry about it. You just set it aside. At the end of days, it will make sense." And Daniel had to go on not seeing that set of prophecies make sense to him. The Apostle John in the book of Revelation, the revelation of Jesus Christ, is prophesying about a 200 million person army. At that time on the earth, there was no more than 200 million people, demographers have suggested. So we're looking at something that was absolutely incredible. Now, we talked all about that last week. Let me just give you one quick aside. Guys, God is unfolding things in lightning bolt fashion. Things are happening rapidly. I honestly believe we are in the last days. Now, I can say, and I know you can tell me, people have been saying that for a long time. I believe we are seeing things in the last 60 years make sense that no other generation prior to this one living right here today has ever understood. And things are making sense. This is an article that I came across this week written by Sorcha Fall. And that was in a Russian Information Ministry report that she was giving to the Prime Minister of Russia and to readers about that kind of a meeting. And the meeting was about this. They were talking about Pakistan and Iran, which border Afghanistan. And those are coming under some measure of potential control for an Indian and Israeli alliance. But the report went on as it was being pronounced just last week or the week before that China also borders on Afghanistan. And China's growing military doctrine, stated growing military doctrine, calls for, if necessary, using Afghanistan as the main route to push into the area vital for its oil and gas regions. Those regions of Iran and Saudi Arabia. And China declared that it could man together or person together a military force that exceeds 200 million people. That was just a report that came last week. I don't think the leaders of China are reading the book of Revelation, do you? God is unfolding what He is unfolding. I'm not saying that it may be exactly that. I'm saying, boy, we're blind if we don't sit up and take notice. We're blind if we don't say, okay, Lord, I want to be prepared. Who in this room wants to be prepared for whatever God's going to do? I do. There's just even a natural fulfillment of what we just talked about last week, or at least an interesting discussion of it following the message. All right, let's talk about the ascension gift prophets. Let me go through some thoughts with you from the Scripture about what is this prophet from the Bible? What are we talking about? Number one, their timetable is set by God. And we're going to go on from verse 11. Let's begin in verse 12 now. For the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry. So He gives these fivefold ministries, or the ascension gift ministries. He gives gifts to men. Why? To equip the saints for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Look at each other and say, do you know you have a ministry? Do you know you have a ministry? Do you know it? Now, the timetable is set by God. How long does this work continue? Until, notice, we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. How many believe we're there? How many think we got a little growing room? Turn to each other and say, you got some growing room, I know it. All right, so why does this ministry take place? Watch this. From whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what? Say it with me, please. Every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part, say it with me, every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Every member functioning, a prophetic people, a Spirit-filled people, a people alive with the gifts of the Spirit flowing in them, flowing through them, blessing, strengthening, edifying, encouraging one another in the body. That's what the family of God's all about. So God set the prophets in the church to be one of the fashioning tools to help bring that to pass. And that function will endure until these things come to pass. That's what the Bible says. Number two, they are set in the church by God. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 28. God has appointed, New King James, in the King James, it's the word set, these in the church. First apostles, second prophets. God set them. How many of you understand it's Jesus' church? That's right. Come on, say it with me. It's His church. His church. He set them in. We didn't do it. We didn't vote on it. It's not a democracy. God says, I'm going to build my church my way. How many want to build God's church God's way? Amen. All right, Lord, then we're going to stick close to Your word. We're going to get as close to You as we possibly can and stay as much in the word of God as we can to build as close to the word of God and do the word of God as much as we can. It's His church. So He set them in the church. The third thing is their purpose. The prophet's purpose is set by God. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 9 and 10. For we are, the Apostle Paul says, God's fellow workers. You are God's field. You are God's building. According to the grace of God, which was given to me as a, please say it with me, wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another builds on it. But let each one take heed how he builds on it. The master builder, the general contractor, if you will, to help bring God's family and His church to maturity. The Greek word transliteration of this, of this master builder is the word architekton. Say it with me. Architekton. What does that sound like? Master builder. Architect. So these ministries labor with Him according to the design plans, the building plan. Anybody ever build anything here? Building, commercial building, house? Did you have any plans? Ken, what's it like to build something without any plans? Where are we going? What are we building? I don't know. Let's just build. God's got a plan. according to His Word. It is frustrating for my friend. And so how much longer left? Yeah. I've known Ken for over 8 years now. He's been ticking off the time. So anyway, the architect, the master builder, we build according to His plan. Again, we get as close to Jesus as we can. We build His church as close to His Word as we can. That's why the church of Jesus today may not look like what the world accepts as what they want the church to look like. It's important what Jesus wants the church to look like. Someone say amen. The church needs to look like Him, act like Him, talk like Him, minister like Him, be like Him. We've got some growth yet to go. But let's be a prophetic people filled with this Spirit. Amen? Turn to each other one more time. Say, be prophetic. Be filled with this Spirit. All right, prophets, number four. Prophets, number four, are set in the church. So they're set, their purpose is from God, their timetable is from God, their purpose is set by God, but they're also especially set in the church. It's not just have word will travel. It's not just I got some rebuking ministry, travel around to whatever church I want to pop into and pop off whatever thing I want to pop off. That is not the plan of God in the house of God. The prophets in the body of Christ are to be identified with church and the family of God. The prophets should be able to be identified, candle in a candlestick, where they know where they belong, where people know them, know the fruit of their life, know the fruit of their ministry. Now you go to the New Testament, there were some that were spontaneously led of God and they went out and they did the works of God. But guess what? You also see the apostles and prophets, they go out, do their ministry, come back to Antioch, give a report to the brethren of the ministry that took place. They were identified because they love the family of God. How many love the family of God in this room? Prophets need to do the same thing. Prophets need to love the family of God. Pastor Kim, why are you talking about all this? It's important that we understand what's the Bible teach about these. They're set in the church. Hebrews 10, 24 through 25. Fantastic scripture. Let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Watch this out of the message. Not avoiding worshiping together, as some do, but, say it with me, spurring each other on. I want you to rise up a little bit and point your finger. Spurring. Go ahead, do it again. Spurring each other on. That word encourage in our Bible. Listen to the Greek meaning of that word. Stimulate strongly. Arouse. I bet you didn't know that word meant this next thing. Incite to riot. What is that saying? That is saying that is more than just there, nice to see you at church, come on, whatever. That's saying reach out, take your brother by the hand, your sister by the hand, and say, come on, I haven't seen you in the house of God lately. Let's go to church together. You need church. I need church. Let's belong to one another. Let's grow in God. Incite a riot. We're going to do it at church this morning. We're going to riot. Powerful. The point of the context of that scripture where there were believers in that day trying to survive on their own, I don't need church. To withdraw from the corporate family of God invites disaster in your life. God didn't intend you to walk this thing perfectly on your own. We need others to cheer for us and encourage us, to spur us on. We do need that. The analogy is like a soldier who lags behind the rest of his platoon who becomes an easy target for the enemy. Stop long enough. Sometimes, if I've done this myself, you pull yourself away from the hot fire and your coal starts to go out. If that's where you're at, ask yourself, gee, why am I having a problem? Could it be that I need to get back in where somebody else looks at me and spurs me on in good things in God? Prophets stir up. That's the context. Prophets stir up the good things in the family of God. Stir us up in the church. Look at Acts 13, verse 1. in the church at Antioch, say it with me, please, there were prophets and teachers. One more point to make along these points is number 5. They are set as foundational ministries. Ephesians chapter 2 tells us, "Now therefore you are fellow citizens with the saints, members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone." They help the superstructure. The prophets bring in the plumb line. Is that straight and true? Is that really what God said to build? Is that built and will it endure? Will it stand the test of time? So prophets are set in place by God. All right, what's their function? There's a meaning even in the word prophet. Pro, on behalf of, thet, or theme, which means to speak. Now, don't go up to a prophet who prophesies and says, "I understand you're theme." Don't do that. Little joke. Okay, pro, on behalf of, thet, or theme, to speak. So the prophet speaks on behalf of God. That's the meaning of the word. There's revelation. There's illumination. There's a foretelling of future events or divine counsel and guidance that comes through the prophets. Direction, correction, admonition. In some extreme cases, even rebuke. They work with the apostle and the pastor, and he doesn't just walk in and level the body of Christ, but there's a submission in his own life to the ministry of the leadership of the church, and there's good fruit and there's character. How many know that if you're going to minister in the body of Christ, you have to be able to produce some good character in your life? There's a lot of people over a lot of years that ministered without having good character, and damage has come to people because of it. Now, I didn't say you're perfect because I didn't see any hands raised. Anybody perfect in this room?
No.
Okay. No, but God's learning. Or we're learning. God's learning. God knows it all. We're learning. We're growing. And God is working with us. Okay? Now, watch this. Revelation 19, verse 10. Worship God. Say it with me, please. "For the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy." Now, Jesus had spoken directly to his disciples, and they were used to him being there. Then he ascends to his Father, and the Holy Spirit comes upon his people. And now the Spirit of God dwells in each believer who surrendered to him, and he, the Spirit of Jesus, the Holy Spirit, if you will, is speaking inside, prompting, leading, guiding, and we are to be prophetic people. The Bible talks about Agabus. The Bible talks about Judas and Silas. The New Testament talked about Philip's 4 daughters who prophesied. It's the Spirit of Jesus speaking. Look at it out of another version here. Go ahead, Pat, one more. All right, 1 Thessalonians 5, 19 through 20. Thank you. "Do not quench the Spirit. Do not despise prophecies." The Greek word there, despise, is exutheno, and it means don't make light of, don't set it not, don't treat and reject the prophetic word with scorn. Don't mock, don't deride it, don't cheapen it, the place of prophecies in the family of God. Now comes the Message version. Don't suppress the Spirit. Don't stifle those who have a word from the Master. Now, we're learning to move in the gifts of the Spirit. We're trying not to stifle, but we're trying to learn. The river starts to flow. Then the river gets to move in the channel. We're not asking about a flood that's going to destroy lives. We're looking for a river, the river of God that flows in us, through us, and we don't want to stifle the word from the Master. But as we grow, we also want to learn what's in the flow, what's not, what's of God's Spirit. If everything is moving in one theme this morning, and I've got a word that's in a completely different direction, then I should hold that word, because the spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophet. So if everything's going this way, and this one's going the opposite, then I probably should hold that word. Who can say amen? If everything's all about the love of God that morning, and you got a vision on the judgment of God, unless you're called to be a prophet, and if you are, you come and see me and talk to me about that word, we'll see how to apply it. But in the message, in the meeting, it wouldn't be appropriate, it would be out of order to bring that word. So we guide things according to the flow of His Spirit. But an accurate word from God can stir up the people of the Lord. How many have ever heard a prophecy that stirs your spirit for God? Come on, stirs your spirit for the Lord and makes you love Him or makes you want to fall in love with Him or maybe brings conviction and you go, yeah, I'm going to turn away from that. I want to be everything God wants me to be. In 60 seconds or 30 seconds, a prophetic word can accomplish what 3 weeks worth of preaching hasn't been able to do. Because when God moves by the Spirit, we want to hear Him. Now, I want to give you some examples. God is moving today. Turn to each other and say, God is moving today. God is speaking today. Say it to the person on the other side of you. If you ran out of sides, just turn around and say it again. Now, we've had the privilege of knowing, Pastor Carl and Pastor Sherry know most of these people that we're going to, or many of the people we're going to talk about this morning that are from the last 30, 40 years. I've had the privilege of meeting them. Their lives tell a testimony and fruit. I want to talk for a moment, just a quick couple of moments, and give you some examples about what God is prophesying today. There's Cindy Jacobs. Maybe some of you have heard of her. She moves as a prophetess, and she oversees intercessory moves and is really used by God. And she was in Costa Rica getting ready to lead a massive prayer movement for Central America. She was walking by, down away from the platform, walked by a man who had obviously looked stately but had suffered a stroke and was in bad shape. And she walked by, and as she did, the Lord said, I want you to prophesy over him that he's going to be the next president of the nation. Now, if any of you had a thought that you scoffed at, you know, want you to go tell that person whatever, and you think, oh, that's crazy stuff. That's what she did. She just kept walking. Second time, the Holy Spirit says, I want you to turn around and go talk to that man. Tell him he's going to be the president of the nation. And she's arguing with God as she's walking. Can you imagine this? I am not going to do that. This guy looks like he's ready for the grave. I am not going to say that to him. She says this in her testimony. All of a sudden, the Holy Spirit said, Cindy Jacobs, you go prophesy over that man. Now, did your mother ever say your first name and last name? Or your daddy? Kevin Orley Hunter! I just told you my middle name. Kevin Orley Hunter! Boy, when it was three, I knew it was World War III, you know. And that's what the Holy Spirit did with her. Cindy Jacobs, you turn around and go prophesy to that man. So she said, okay, Lord. She turned around. This man has had a stroke. He's in bad shape. And she looked at him and she said, if you will walk humbly before your God, you will become the next president of Costa Rica and God will use you to root out corruption from your government. 2 years later, she was getting ready to go back to a ministry trip in Costa Rica and she and her husband received a phone call. And the phone call went like this. The president of Costa Rica would like to set up a meeting with you. And she goes, who's the president of Costa Rica? The man you prophesied over. And he told her, completely healed when she saw him, he told her, I never before had ever thought of running for any political office, and the Lord has used him. Bill Hammond, a friend of Pastor Carl and Pastor Sherry, who is in Florida, who has started Christian International and is used to raise up prophets and ministry around the body of Christ, is used by God to minister to nations. I want to tell you just one story. 1996. I don't know if you recall the tenor and the time in South Africa, but apartheid was coming to a head and people were saying there is going to be a massive blood running in the streets problem in South Africa. He was in ministry there, and God said, I want you to prophesy to the churches that if you will pray, there will supernaturally be a bloodless transition. The churches rose up and prayed. How many remember? It was a bloodless transition from apartheid in 1996. Not all that long ago, Chuck Pierce, another man we know in Apostles and Prophets, and moves in the prophetic gifts with C. Peter Wagner, they were meeting in San Antonio, Texas, and he was in a conference with Dutch Sheets, and Dutch happened to be preaching and teaching at the time. And Chuck Pierce stood to his feet and said to the crowd, God has just showed me, if we pray right now, Saddam Hussein will be captured this week. The whole conference erupted in prayer. Within 3 days, Saddam Hussein was captured. Amen. You think that's just coincidence? God is speaking to whoever will listen. Is it you? Is it me? Watch this. Second Chronicles chapter 20, verse 20. Jehoshaphat stood and said, "Hear me, O Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, and you shall be established. Believe his," say it with me please, "prophets, and you shall prosper." Watch it out of another version. The New American Standard means, "Put your trust in the Lord your God, you will be established. Put your trust in his prophets, and you will succeed." Let me talk about history. Just go through a timeline of history real quickly here. Throughout most of the Old Testament, and we're soon, if you're in the Bible reading for the year, you'll soon come into the Old Testament minor prophets, but we've been in the major, and the minor prophets are coming, and they spoke God's word. In the New Testament, the office of the prophet was held in high esteem. Watch this history, or listen to the history. The church was built, along with Jesus, mostly Jesus, the chief cornerstone. Nobody replaces Jesus. Someone say, amen. Prophets and apostles and the fivefold ministry don't replace Jesus. They work with Jesus. But after the early church, that first century, church history is riddled with the controversy, the persecution. Some people think, "I want to be a prophet." It's not something you just canvass for promotion for, and it's not much of a promotion anyway, guys. These are the people who really go through the fire. Take a look at the Apostle Paul's life, the prophetic mantle upon him. Guy was in shipwreck, the guy was persecuted. You read it through the scriptures, and it's also true in history. The prophets were active in that first generation after the resurrection, but their numbers gradually decreased as the church developed political hierarchies, tightly organized under local bishops. Finally, the apostles and prophets were reduced to wandering as traveling itinerants, not welcomed by the bishop at all. The bishops in local places. In the second century, there were materials written, rules to control the prophets who were looking for places that would receive the word of the Lord. The rules went like this: welcome them the first time, then watch them closely. Listen to the rules. If they stay more than 3 days in one place, if they take an offering, or if they prophesy that a meal should be served, or if they fail to practice everything they teach, they are to be exiled as false prophets. The heartbreak of God, imagine, when he set them in the church, and basically by the second century church, or the second generation church, they were reduced to wandering medicine men. Now we sit on this side. After God is moving in restoration, church, we take so much for granted. We are living in days of restoration. The last 60, 80, 100 years has brought a remarkable and powerful move of God. We are privileged to live in this hour and this day. Punch each other in the arm and say, it's a privilege to be alive today. You're the generation saying an awful lot of things. They were reduced to wandering medicine men. That's how they were seen. And so prophecy died out. The voice of the prophet was seldom heard in the church. The Roman Catholic Church had people who turned to foretelling, and future events were prophesied, but they would write them down and treat them very carefully. And there were famous prophecies in the Roman Catholic Church foretelling future events about the popes and about the Catholic Church. The most famous you've heard of that's talked all about now is Nostradamus in the 16th century, who was a physician and a mystic from southern France. In the Protestant world, listen to what the Protestant did. Martin Luther and John Calvin didn't want anything to do with prophecy. Didn't want anything to do with charismatic gifts. They felt all truth was revealed in the scriptures. Luther railed against, quote, "swarming prophets and babbling tongue speakers, all false and dangerous enemies of Reformation." He recommended they be drawn and quartered. How many love Luther? I do. Reformation, salvation, by grace, through faith, used by God to bring a powerful truth and restoration to the body of Christ. How many know one man doesn't have all the truth? Aren't you glad that God moved powerfully among the Lutherans and ministry of the Holy Spirit and the charismatic moves and other moves throughout history? So God didn't leave these people out, but these guys were strong. It was the followers of John Calvin who developed the perspective of cessationism. The gifts in the Spirit aren't for today. Even so, followers who came after him, Jonathan Edwards. Anybody hear of Jonathan Edwards? Great revival through Jonathan Edwards. He and others experienced the charismatic revivals and prophetic manifestations to the great blessings of God. But for centuries, the office of the prophet and the prophecies were opposed and even persecuted. Do you realize what a blessing it is to have an open spirit where the prophetic word can happen in our midst? Amen. That's a miracle of God when God moves in that way. We need to treat it as such. Some learn, some grow, we get better. By reason of use, have our exercise or discernment exercised, we learn to hear God better. But it's a miracle of God that we live in this hour. So it was quiet. No prophetic voice, except for just a few every now and then. And guys, I know I've spoken about it before, but I want you to know the 1900s, 1902 to 1907, this was an earthquake explosion that took place of the Holy Spirit on Azusa Street. It was an earthquake in the Spirit of God. People received the baptism in the Holy Spirit. The gifts of the Spirit were manifest, speaking in tongues, miracles, prophecies, vision. People came from all around the world to a little house in L.A., California, on Azusa Street, ministered to by the Spirit of God. And the Spirit of God was sent around the world to restore the prophetic gifts and the Spirit of the Lord. We take it for granted. Let me tell you a few stories that came springing out of this movement. There was a huge Pentecostal move of the Spirit of God in Chile, partly as a result of a prophecy given by some poor little night watchman to a pastor of a church. And the pastor of the church ran with the word, but in Chile, the Methodist ministers rejected the move of the Spirit of God. So they started what was called the Pentecostal Methodist Church in Chile. Literally, millions of believers are in that church now. Powerful revival. Prophecy in Indiana was given to a couple of men to go to Barra to begin a work for the Lord. They scrambled. They got a globe. They didn't never heard of Barra. It was just a prophetic word from God. They scrambled and got a globe, and they found this place in Brazil. So they organized a movement to take the Spirit of the Lord and the ministry of the Spirit to this place in Brazil called Barra, and that was the first place a church was ever called the Assembly of God. At Barra in Brazil, out of a Baptist church. And by the end of the century, the Brazilian Assembly of God had more than 15 million members, now joining hands with other Pentecostal and charismatic moves of the Spirit with the gifts of the Spirit. There are over 79 million people involved in the Spirit-filled church in Brazil. Someone say, praise God. 1936, Johannesburg, South Africa, an illiterate English evangelist named Smith Wigglesworth. Anybody ever heard of Smith Wigglesworth? He prophesied over David Duplessy. You guys knew David Duplessy. Some of you have heard of David Duplessy. Prophesies over David Duplessy. You are to leave the safety of Jerusalem in South Africa, and God will give you worldwide influence to introduce Pentecost to mainline churches. And the new move, the prophecy said, the new move of God would make the early Pentecostal move look like a joke in comparison. He left the safety of that Jerusalem, and literally David Duplessy was worldwide used of God as an ambassador for Pentecost and became known as, who can remember, Mr. Pentecost. God speaks and fulfills His word. Oral Roberts, 1958 in Enid, Oklahoma, received a prophecy about the ministry and healing revival. And he literally was thrust and exploded onto the scene in worldwide ministry. How many know what else happened in 1948? First the natural, then the spiritual. 1948, Israel's restored as a nation. And then the explosion of healing ministries and the Spirit of God. 1967, remember what happened? 6-day war in Israel. And then what happened in the church? Charismatic move exploded around the earth. Let me give you one more, just one more. Reinhard Bonnke. Anybody ever heard of Reinhard Bonnke? Reinhard Bonnke had a prophecy, was given a prophecy years ago that, listen to the prophecy, that he would see 1 million souls converted in one service. Now, are you breathing? 1 million souls converted. That prophecy came to pass in the year 2000. In one service, he was in a ministry crusade in Lagos, Nigeria. And in one night, 1,093,745 people signed decision cards testifying to the fact they'd surrendered their life to Jesus in that service. God is alive and well. Someone say amen.
Amen.
Come on, I said God is alive and well. Someone say amen.
Amen.
It's bigger than you and me. He's bigger than our understanding. Church, there are prophets, and the church is called to be prophetic people.
Amen.
Now, what does that mean? In the church service, God moves and speaks. Everybody can hear a word from God. The Bible says you can prophesy one by one. But the New Testament then also says there are some with the specific ministry gift of prophecy. And then the Bible also says there are some deeper still who are called to the office of the prophet. In the lists of spiritual gifts, and there are 7 and 8 in the New Testament, and I'm done in 5 minutes. In the list of spiritual gifts, there's about 7 places and 20 gifts are identified. The only constant in all of those gifts is prophecy. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 1, pursue love, desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. Ernest Gentile, a man we know, a pastor for 33 years in California, wrote, the early church embraced an astounding belief that the Christ who had spoken to them through his own lips now spoke to his people through the inspired speech of his servants. They called this continuing voice of Jesus in the church prophecy. Outside the congregational meetings, the Christians were led of the Spirit, empowered to pray in the Spirit, witnessed with the Spirit's power, indeed a prophetic people. What's it mean to be a prophetic people? How many of you ever receive a prompting from the Lord? I want you to pray for this person. I want you to go here. I want you to call this person. I want you to do something. Avoid this. Don't do that. But follow the promptings of the Spirit. And in the service, we want to follow the voice of God and minister the gifts of the Spirit. Outside the service, we live as a prophetic people. The non-Christian of Bible days came to the church gatherings because of the startling witness of some believing friend. The inquirer was spellbound by this God who was so wonderfully present and did such awesome things. The church felt God, experienced God. Yes, and they heard his thoughts dynamically presented in a way that inspired them to live. There's so much more about prophets and prophecy, but the Spirit of God is alive and well. I don't want to be in a dead church. How about you? I want to be in a live church. Move by your Spirit, God. Include me. Don't leave me out. Move by your Spirit. We give you room. Can you say with me,
I will be
one of your
prophetic people.
Move, God, move.
Yes.
Elaine, would you come? Let's stand. Can you slip up your hands to Jesus? Lord, we respond to you. We are your people. And it doesn't matter if this is our comfort zone or not. The issue isn't comfort zone. The issue is we want to be involved in what makes you comfortable. Lord, we thank you for the moving of your Spirit. Oh, Lord, thank you for those that went before us who paid the price of persecution and being put down for their faith that you still spoke. We thank you, Lord, that we live in a day where so many things make so much more sense than they ever did before. Thank you that you are moving and speaking by your Spirit. See us, Lord, with hands raised. Just raise your hands to Jesus. See us, Lord, your people who want to be your prophetic people. Move, speak, and we will respond to you, O God. Dig out our ears to hear your voice. And we want to hear your word saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. We thank you for it. And all the people said,
amen.